Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to yet another opportunity to spend some time in the Word of God and to have a conversation really just about what does the Bible say? How does it apply to our lives? It's simple, but boy, is it effective. We've so much enjoyed having Brian Sams with us for the last few days, but I am equally as excited to have John Edmonds joining us today. And John is the president of Veritas Baptist College, and more importantly, he's just my good friend. So, John, thanks for coming.
Well, thank you, Pastor. It's a great blessing to be with you today. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to our discussions in the next few episodes.
I'm a little bit intimidated, John, because you are a Bible scholar.
No. And you may think that.
I've been hanging out with these pastors, you know, and so I can just say whatever I want, but now I've got a theologian here and I'm a little bit nervous.
No, you've had good men on here who know the Bible well. So it's my opportunity and privilege to be with you, actually.
So, John, just we won't take a lot of time on this, but just tell our listeners a little bit about you've spent really your adult life in higher education.
For the most part, I have. For the most part, since I got out of college, I've been involved in higher education, and it's been a great blessing. It's really, I thoroughly enjoy teaching on the higher education level. 3 years ago, I came to VBC, Veritas Baptist College here, which is a mission of Faith Baptist Church. And now I've had the opportunity to work in administration at the college, and it's exciting to see what God is doing now here at Veritas.
It really is. And at the end of the day, you know, any institution, and there are so many good ones, there are so many great churches, so many great colleges, and we're all on the same team. At the end of the day, it's people reaching people, people teaching people.
It certainly is. Yes. I love the fact that I've had in my history teachers who have invested in me, who have poured their lives into me. And now I thank God the opportunity that I have to invest in the lives of students to help equip men and women for ministry.
Absolutely.
That's what we're all about, is preparing people to serve the Lord Jesus Christ more effectively.
Teaching others also. And 2 Timothy 2:2. James, obviously, was a teacher himself. He put himself in that category of be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive. So he viewed himself as a teacher, the pastor at the Church of Jerusalem. And this whole book is a book of powerful teaching.
Yes, it certainly is. And James warns teachers, as you well know and have covered, that teachers are accountable for what they say.
Absolutely. Which, well, thank you for that at the beginning of the podcast. So we're responsible for what we tell you listeners today. And I do want to say thank you to each one of you for tuning in. We're in James 4. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about, it was a negative way to end the podcast. We talked about the fact that God takes our obedience personally. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? So the idea of adultery and being an enemy. And in today, we jump into James 4 and verse 5, where the Bible says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? So James, which I think is excellent, wants to buttress his point in a strong way by saying, hey, what does the scripture say? And it's not that he's quoting any particular scripture, but he's saying, hey, here's what the Bible teaches. And of course, to James, his Bible was the Old Testament. So doesn't the Bible teach that human nature itself is just bent to want to fulfill its lusts and get what other people have?
Oh, it sure does. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, as we know. And we do like to satisfy the lust of our flesh unless we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit.
There would be people that would look at James 4 and verse 5 and say, well, this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that dwelleth in us. And certainly at the moment of salvation, the Spirit of God dwells in us. But the Spirit of God doesn't lust to envy. I think it's that human spirit that we want more. And that's the context of chapters 3 and 4.
I would agree with you, Pastor, even back to James 1, talking about temptation, how it starts in the heart of man. So I think you're right on here with this passage in James. It talks about the inner struggle that goes into a person's life and how their spirit does lust after those things which are not right.
And isn't it interesting how lust and envy then become sisters? Lust, well, I have this strong desire for what I don't have, and then envy. But I see other people having what I want. And so they go together. I want, and now I want what he wants because he's getting what I want. Boy, it's a vicious circle, isn't it?
It certainly is. And it's so easy, if we're not careful, to get sucked into this worldly mentality about me first.
And back to the big context, which is our tongue. Why do we say the things we say to others and about others? Well, the Bible says, because we have bitter envying and strife in our heart. And again, James is coming back to that. Here's your heart. Here's your heart. And then watch the contrast. Because if all we do is talk about how depraved we are and how prone we are to be selfish, that's a pretty negative thing.
Yeah, we can get, it's like watching the news where you see a lot of bad things happen. You get really discouraged. And so I'm so thankful that God tells us the good news, how that we have power through Jesus Christ, and we have the grace of God that is more than sufficient to cover anything in our life that could be wrong.
And that's the next verse, verse 6. But, so there's the contrast to the lust and the envy that characterizes us, but he, God, giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So there's the contrast that, you know, God is the supplier of grace. It really reminds me of Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8. You know, yes. Where sin abounds,
yes,
grace does much more abound.
It sure does. And it reminds me, you know, the grace of God, as Paul reminds us in Romans 6, you know, what shall we say? Then shall we sin? You know, because of God's grace? No. When we understand God's grace properly, it will drive us to humility to see how great our God is in spite of our sin.
So talk to me then, John, about, because there is some confusion about, so God gives grace. So obviously it's a gift.
Right.
Grace is a gift of God. And it's the favor of God that gives us a desire and an ability to do his will. So where does human responsibility come in? You know, in what sense, okay, I'm going to give you grace if you're humble. So do we earn grace? How does that all work?
Yeah, obviously, as you know, there's no way we could ever earn the grace of God. You know, God's grace is given in spite of who we are, and it is not based upon who we are. But obviously, you know, you think of Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And we have the word of God that tells us what we ought to do. And then the Holy Spirit can engender faith in our hearts as we respond to the Word of God properly. And as we are walking with God, in fellowship with God, we can walk in the grace of God. I remind of Galatians, how in Galatians, Paul dealt very much with grace, how that people were going back to the law and away from the grace of God, to the effect that grace had no practical implication in their life because they were trying to live by the law rather than the grace of God that God longs to give to people that will turn to him and humble themselves.
So grace has really, the implication of grace is not that I'm going to receive the favor of God and then do whatever I want to do.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
True grace is going to help me to do what God wants me to do, liberate me to obey.
Exactly right. And that's what in Galatians, Paul reminds them, you know, stand fast in liberty. God has given us grace. And because of that, it ought cause us to realize where there is great privilege, there's also great responsibility. And we have the privilege of experiencing God's grace. And we have therefore the responsibility to live in that grace and to live as a child of God.
Similar to the passage in Titus, where it says the grace of God that bringeth salvation. So it all starts with God.
Right.
You know, we don't make the first move he does.
Right.
It's God's prevenient grace. the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. So God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness yes. and worldly lusts, to live soberly and righteously and godly. So a good view of God's grace here in James 4 is necessary because it says he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So it's not that humility is the way by which we earn God's grace. It's simply a statement of fact that God's grace is going to have free access into the heart of somebody who's willing to receive him.
Exactly right. When we're proud, we don't think we need grace. Like the Pharisees who look at themselves as if they are righteous in and of themselves. But God reminds us it is that person that is contrite, has a humble heart, that really is willing to accept the grace of God.
So think about that one statement, because we kind of glossed over it, and I want to come back to it. God resisteth the proud. I was reading a little bit before today's episode, and God resisting the proud, it's the term that means God is setting himself in a battle against.
Yeah, it's a scary place to be.
I would not want, you know, I don't like to fight anyway. If I do want to fight, I want to make sure I know who I'm going to fight.
Exactly.
But one person I don't want to fight is the Lord.
That's for sure.
And the Bible says that when we are full of pride, we are setting ourselves, we're setting the battle lines against God himself.
Exactly.
What a sober thought. And it really brings back the whole principle of verse 4, which is the enemy of God. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then I think the next verses help us to understand what that means. So look at verse 7. And listeners, if you're following along, that's always helpful. If not, let me just read it for you. Verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore. So anytime in the Bible you see the word therefore, you know that it's based upon what has come before. So we just talked about God resisting the proud, giving grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So in other words, don't resist God. Don't draw battle lines against God. He's not the enemy. He's the one that wants to enliven your life. He's the one that wants to enrich you by his grace. No, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what does that mean, to resist the devil?
Yeah, obviously in our life, Satan wants to pull us down. He wants us to follow his will rather than the will of God in our life. And Satan always has an alternate will. I think even of Jesus Christ, where Satan came to Christ in Matthew 4 and gave Christ all these promises if Christ would obey him. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, always went back to Scripture and reminded Satan and told Satan, you know, this is what the Bible says. And so obviously if we're resisting Satan, we will be using Scripture's, particularly scriptural principles, to say no to those things that are not of God.
So submission to God and then resisting the devil they have to go together.
They have to go together.
So to curry the favor of God is mutually exclusive to submitting to temptation.
Exactly right.
So when the Bible talks about submit, you know, we have the English word submit. You break it down, mit means to send. So we transmit, we commit, we remit. So to submit, we send. Sub means under. So submit means to place oneself, to send, to place oneself under. It's a voluntary, it's a voluntary placing under my will. My will, not my will, but thine.
Right.
Somebody famous said that in a garden somewhere.
That is for sure.
And of course, the Lord Jesus said that at Gethsemane. So submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So we're resisting the devil, but separation and sanctification is never just the repudiation of what's wrong. It's never just the saying no to or fighting what's evil. It's always a greater yes.
Right.
So resisting the devil and then drawing nigh to God. And the yes. Bible says when we take a step toward him, when we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us.
Yes, and I love that truth. It's also a convicting truth because I know in my life, if I am not walking with God, it's never God's problem. It's always my problem. It's always a sin problem in my life where I'm not submitting to God's will, but I'm living for some other purpose.
Yeah, and it's not as if God says, okay, I'm waiting for you to make the first move. No, the first move is his invitation.
Exactly right.
God always makes the first move. And I would say that to you, listeners. God has made the first move to you. He loves you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. If you have embraced Jesus Christ as your personal savior, he's still making the first move. Every day of your life you get up, the air you breathe is the grace of God. The steps you take, they all reflect the grace of God. God has demonstrated himself strongly in your life. So what's my responsibility? Humble yourself. Realize who you are. Realize that your potential lies in Jesus Christ and the grace that he wants to give you day by day. His mercy, his grace, it's new today. So this very day, let's decide together. We're going to draw nigh to God. We're going to humble ourselves. We're certainly not going to draw battle lines against the Lord. And we're going to let God do something marvelous today in our lives by his amazing grace. God bless you, my friends. Thank you for joining us again, and we look forward to the next conversation.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.